We're now in the third and the last part of Stephen's sermon. And we have seen throughout the first two parts how he has been trying to correct the errors of his hearers, correct the accusations that were made against him. And now in this last part, he drives it all home. He shows how Israel has repeatedly turned away from God, and they were not really serving God the way that they thought they were. But the way that Stephen ends his sermon might be a little bit confusing to us. He says, for example, in verse 51, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." So is Stephen suddenly speaking very harshly? Has he suddenly changed his tone at the end of the sermon? And if he has, we might ask, well, how is that supposed to help? Wouldn't speaking in this way drive them away more than convince them to listen? So we do need to consider what he is saying as he closes his sermon and consider why he says it, so that we can understand what is happening throughout the last part of this speech. So Stephen now turns to Israel in the wilderness, because before he'd been talking about Abraham and then Moses. Now he's focusing on Israel in the wilderness. And he says that God sent Moses to deliver them. And God used Moses to perform great wonders, the plagues in Egypt, the Red Sea, and so forth. And God gave Moses the law at Mount Sinai. There was no doubt whatsoever that God was with Moses. There was no doubt that he spoke for him. And yet Israel turned away from him time and time again. We're told in verse 39, "Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt." They wanted to go back to their slavery. They chose instead to worship the golden calf and followed after idols instead of the living God. So God gave them over to their idolatry. He let them go on their stubborn way. And Stephen quotes the words of the prophet Amos to show exactly what they had done. He said that Israel worshipped Moloch in the wilderness, the abomination of the Canaanites. And they worshipped a star god called Rephan. And as we also learn in a book like the book of Joshua, that generation was so stubborn, so set against God, that they failed to circumcise their children. Joshua had to circumcise the new generation before they could enter into the promised land. A more difficult, stubborn, resistant people would be hard to find. But of course, God was still faithful to his word. But it's not as if they had no witness. It's not as if they were going along because God had given them nothing and they were wandering in ignorance. No, they had God's clear testimony. They even had the tabernacle among them. That was the place where God had promised to put his name. And as long as the tabernacle was among them, they would know that God was right there with them the whole time. But even with God right there, showing forth his wonders, giving them his word, they still turned away. And Stephen shows how they did this by fast-forwarding through history. He says that the tabernacle went into the promised land with Joshua. God was still there. And the tabernacle stood until the days of David at Shiloh. God was still there. And Solomon built the temple after the tabernacle was destroyed. God was still there. He had not left them. He had given them his testimony all along. But that testimony was not given to them so that they would be secure in their sins. It was given to them so that they would turn to the Lord in faith. Because Stephen quotes the words of Isaiah when he says, starting in verse 49, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?" These words come from Isaiah chapter 66. And in that chapter, Isaiah goes on to say, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." So God had given them all of these things so that they would repent and turn towards him. He had given them all of these things so that they would walk in the truth and so that they would follow after him in all that they said and did. God was always seeking after their good. But Israel refused. They even turned the temple into an idol. And they rejected the Lord and did not walk in his ways. Now here's the thing, Christians. Up to this point in Stephen's speech, I don't think any of his hearers would really have disagreed with him. They might take issue here and there with a few of these things, but for the most part, they would agree their fathers had not followed God. In fact, we have the words of Jesus in Matthew 23 when he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.'" That's what the Pharisees said. That's not just Jesus saying that. He's quoting them. They knew that their fathers had sinned. They knew they had not done what they should have done. But things were different now, or at least so they thought. Their fathers had sinned, yes, but they had learned from their mistakes. Their fathers went astray, but they served God. Their fathers had been idolaters, but they were different. They thought they were better than their fathers. But Stephen shows them the truth. They too had turned aside into idolatry. They too had sinned. They were no different from their fathers. Because they had rejected Jesus, the righteous one. They were not as righteous as they thought they were. They too needed to repent. So it's not as if Stephen is suddenly shifting gears at the end of his sermon, Christians, as if he's just going along and suddenly slaps them in the face. Rather, this has been his point all along. They were guilty, and they needed to confess their sins so that they would no longer be like their fathers, but instead truly follow after God. But there are three things that I want to say about this last part of his sermon to help us to understand what's going on here. And the first thing I want to suggest is that it is possible Stephen was interrupted, that he was cut off before he could finish what he was going to say. And that's something that certainly happens elsewhere in the book of Acts. If you remember back in chapter 4, Peter and John are cut off as they are speaking, and they are arrested for talking about the resurrection. And Paul himself will likewise be cut short when we get to Acts chapter 22. So it's very possible the Jews are just shouting him down here, that they don't want to listen to him anymore. But even if he was not interrupted, and even if he did just end it right here, that doesn't change the point of the sermon. He is still calling on them to repent, to turn away from their sins, calling on them to repent just as John the Baptist had done, and just as Jesus himself had done, for that matter, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The second thing that I want to say is that the reason why we probably struggle with this is because we sometimes confuse being a Christian with being nice. If we say nice things, then people have to listen to us. And this doesn't sound very nice. So maybe we think that it's going to just drive people away. Maybe Stephen got what was coming to him because he spoke too sharply. But Christians, the gospel is not about the tone that we use. The gospel is not about our choice of words, as if being as inoffensive as possible means that people have to become Christians, that they're practically forced to become Christians. Rather, the gospel is the truth. And it is a truth that sometimes stings, although it is a truth which saves. So sometimes, for the good of someone's eternal soul, we have to speak in a harsh way. I mean, think about Jesus himself and the things that he said, how he was not afraid to say something hard when it needed to be said. Jesus called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. Jesus flipped over the tables of the money changers in the temple and even says things like in Matthew 23 again, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Jesus calls them children of hell. It's hard to think of something more sharp than that. And if our Lord Jesus spoke in this way for the good of those who heard him, Christians, why do we, for some reason, have to be different? We need to learn how to focus on what is being said rather than how it is being said. Because it is the truth which saves us, even when that truth is sometimes spoken in a harsh and abrasive way. And the last thing that I want to say is that the Jews did not reject Stephen because of how he said what he said. They reject him because they reject God. They resist the Holy Spirit. They turn away from the one that God has sent, and for that reason they refuse to listen to Stephen. So it wouldn't have made any difference if he had somehow used a nicer tone. It was their sin that kept them from God. And that alone is why they did not listen to what he had to say. Christians, we should not water down the message that God has sent us to speak. Being nice in and of itself saves no one. Speaking the truth of God in Jesus Christ is what saves us. Even if that sometimes means that we have to call someone a sinner to their face. And yet at the same time, Christians, we should also guard our own hearts so that we do not reject the truth of God. That we should hold on to that truth even when it hurts us to hear it. Yes, it's not easy to hear that I am a sinner. Yes, it's not easy to accept that I cannot save myself. It is not easy for me to say that what I did was wrong without any qualifications. What I did was wrong and that I need to repent of it. That's never an easy thing to do. But it is the truth. And the truth revealed to us in Jesus Christ that God saves sinners. will set us free. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, who has revealed the truth to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would be saved, forgive us our sins and lead us in that truth to life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.